information.
From ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. President Obama has begun a bus tour of Iowa, which put him on the path to the White House 4 years ago. In Council Bluffs, the president addressed the drought gripping much of the nation and urged supporters to pressure Congress to produce a farm bill and the drought relief it will bring.
So if you happen to see Congressman Ryan, tell him how important this farm bill is to Iowa and our rural communities. We've got to put politics aside when it comes to doing the right thing for rural America and for Iowa.
Ryan, announced over the weekend as Mitt Romney's running mate, is also campaigning in Iowa. Romney's stumping in Florida, refuting Democratic charges that Ryan's proposals would end Medicare as it's known. ABC's Stephen Portnoy is there.
As the Obama campaign suggests Paul Ryan's Medicare plans would hurt seniors, Mitt Romney tells a crowd here in Florida the president is engaged in a dirty campaign of dishonesty.
It diminishes the office of the presidency itself.
Romney says he hopes to preserve and protect Medicare. The Ryan plan would affect future seniors, not today's crop of retirees. Stephen Portnoy, ABC News, St. Augustine, Florida.
New ABC News Washington Post polling on Romney's selection of Ryan as running mate. 38% have a favorable view of Ryan, 33% unfavorable.
Positive views of Ryan as the VP choice rose among independents as well as among Republicans and among women, and he's being well received by seniors, a group of interest given Ryan's support for restructuring Medicare.
Pollster Gary Langer. Republicans running the House of Representatives are suing Attorney General Eric Holder. They want a federal judge to enforce a subpoena and compel Holder to produce records related to the bungled gun tracking operation that was known as Fast and Furious. Holder and House Republicans have not worked out a deal on the documents. In June, the House voted Holder in contempt of Congress. On Wall Street, just before the hour, the Dow was down 76 points. The Nasdaq was off by 10. You're listening to ABC News.
Como News Time, 10:02. Good morning, I'm Greg Hirschholt in the Como 24-Hour News Center. The search has just resumed for an Auburn woman who's been missing since Friday night. Let's go live to Pacific City Park and get the latest with Como's Carlene Johnson.
And Greg, Guardian 1 arrived here about 30 minutes ago. We've been watching the chopper trail low along White River, following the current south a bit, looking for any trace of what happened to 27-year-old Tatiana Kamara. Last seen here Friday evening. Now, her brother ran into her here by chance and saw her with a man he did not recognize. Well, then on Saturday, she didn't show up to work. Family got police involved and found her car still here, but no sign of her. Now, just a moment ago, Stephanie Shook with Pacific Police told me they did recover some items connected to the case here in the park yesterday, and then footprints they believe are the missing woman's led down to the river. Other than that, they're not telling us any more at this point, but now circulating these missing person flyers with a picture of the young woman on the front. Live in Pacific Park, Carlene Johnson, Como News Radio.
A hearing gets underway today in the case of a 16-year-old boy accused of raping two women along Kent Kangley Road last October in Kent. The hearing is to determine if he will be charged as a juvenile or as an adult. He was 15 at the time of the attacks. Prosecutors say he told both victims he had a gun and threatened to shoot them unless they cooperated. A state arbitrator upholds cuts in the number of employees required on some state ferry boats. The union took this state to arbitration over the cuts, saying they were not part of the contract negotiations, but the arbitrator ruled the state was within its rights to cut the number of people on each boat when the Coast Guard lowered the requirement on 11 ships. In all, 27 positions were eliminated. Pierce County Corrections deputies are racking up the overtime these days.
Most of the extra time is put in guarding the mentally ill. The News Tribune reports the deputies and other workers at the Pierce County Jail are logging overtime at a pace that could put them more than $1.8 million over budget this year. That's twice as bad as leaders were told it was going to be just 2 weeks ago. Now the county may have to use money it would have used to fill vacant patrol deputy positions to pay the bill. Frank Lindsay, Como News Radio.
Proof positive that gas prices are indeed rising once again. AAA says the average price of a gallon in this state is $3.87. It's higher in some places. Bellingham, $4.01. Seattle, Bellevue, Everett metro area at $3.90. Spokane's average is only $3.68 a gallon. And a heads up, just when you thought you got a break from all the detours after all those closures this weekend, another week of overnight closures is hitting the Alaskan Way Viaduct in Seattle. The southbound lanes starting at the Battery Street Tunnel will be closing at 9 o'clock tonight for more reinforcement work for the tunnel construction project. Their lanes will reopen at 5 a.m., but the closures will repeat each night this week. Como News Time, 10:04.
Como AAA traffic and weather every 10 minutes on the 4s.
And it looks like DOT crews already have a right lane closed southbound on 15th Avenue on the Ballard Bridge in the southbound direction. So there's definitely some slowing in both directions as drivers kind of look at those flashing lights. Northbound I-5 into Seattle remains pretty heavy from just north of the Michigan curve right up through the convention center. And still a lot of congestion on northbound 405. Slow going as you approach the Maple Valley Highway over the hill past 44th. We're seeing slowing on westbound 18 between State Route 167 and the Peasley Canyon. That's where DOT crews also have the right lane closed off for maintenance work. I'm Mary Whitish in the Como AAA Traffic Center.
It is going to be a warm week throughout western Washington, although a little bit cooler today compared to yesterday. Today's high 81, mainly sunny skies. Tomorrow, morning clouds, afternoon sunshine 77. Wednesday, sunny and 86. 90s are likely Thursday and Friday. I'm meteorologist Paul Deano. That's your forecast, and I'll see you on Como 4 News.
67 degrees in downtown Seattle right now. Quick check of the numbers on Wall Street. The Dow Jones average down 70 points. That's the latest from the Como 24-Hour News Center. I'm Craig Hirschold.
Como News Radio. Everything you need to know. Now, Newsline with John Carlson.
I want to check in with an old friend here, John Carlson, hour number two of the program called Newsline, to keep you better informed. Brian Baird was congressman from Southwest Washington, a Democrat, first elected, I believe, in 1998. And he served a dozen years and retired. Jamie Herrera took his place in Congress, and she is headed for what seems to be a certain reelection down in Southwest Washington's 3rd District. Brian Baird himself has authored a book, Character, Politics, and Responsibility. What I like about Brian is that even though we have different political philosophies, he was always kind of a straight shooter and called him as he saw him, and he was willing to occasionally get sideways with his constituents. In what is more liberal constituents in the 3rd District. And so I always like his commentary and his take on things. He joins me here, Como News Radio. Brian Baird, how have you been?
Been great. It's always a pleasure to join you, John. Hope everyone's having a great summer on these beautiful days.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know you are. You just told me you were kayaking with your sons across from Edmonds to Whidbey Island.
Right. It's just great. The Northwest, it's, you know, there's some things I miss about D.C., but I'm so happy to be home and be able to do something like that.
Okay. Well, the reason I wanted to bring up, tell me what you think of Paul Ryan. You served with him for a dozen years. You got to know him at least fairly well.
Mm-hmm. In fact, I served with him on the budget committee. Paul is a very bright, very affable, engaging person. I mean, you enjoy being around him. And I have a lot of respect for his willingness to tackle some of the tough issues like entitlement spending, and they have to be addressed. The concern I have is that, you know, Paul said just the other day when his nomination was announced, or his selection was announced, he said, you know,
are you there?
To be honest, and he's right.
We lost about 4 seconds of you.
Oh, sorry about that.
Okay.
Paul said, look, we need somebody who has the courage to be honest with the people. He's absolutely right about that. The challenge is that they're really not fully being honest, and they're not being honest about a couple of things. In my belief, John, we absolutely have to change the way we do entitlements in this country. So credit to them for that, and credit to President Obama. He's also been willing to address that.
No, he hasn't.
Well,
that's
has,
the problem.
Actually.
That's the problem. Is the Ryan is filling a vacuum. The closest thing we've seen to tackling entitlements has been the Simpson-Bowles Commission, which was appointed by the president. He's pointedly ignored all of their recommendations.
Well, let me continue for a sec. I personally helped lead an effort to try to bring Simpson-Bowles up for a vote before the conclusion of the last Congress I was in. I authored a letter and a number of people signed it, and I asked my leadership to bring it up. So we should have had a chance to vote on that, and I agree with you on that part. But also understand, when the president put forward the Affordable Care Act, there are provisions in there to try to contain Medicare spending. And what happened from that? Well, people said, well, they're going to appoint death panels to deprive senior of their care. So there was an effort. It may be a different effort than Paul's. It was clearly different, but there was an effort. Now, I believe both parties ought to be honest. I personally believe we ought to means test entitlements because we're going to have to rein in the growth spending.
Explain what that means and give us an example, because I understand where you're coming from, but I want you to lay it out here for us.
Yeah, it's real. It's pretty basic. You know, if you look at Social Security, the formal name is OASDI, and that's Old Age Survivors Disability Insurance. It was originally meant as an insurance program, and if you think of it as an insurance program, which most people don't now, they think of it as an entitlement. But as insurance, it's there if we need it, but if we don't need it, we don't get it. That's how insurance works. And if you think of it as an insurance program, you say, well, if somebody's got a multi-million-dollar a year income after the age of 65, why are working families who have home mortgages and trying to take care of the kids, et cetera, why are they paying so that the person over 65 has free medical care?
Okay, now I understand where you're coming from, but here's the response to that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I paid into that like a pension plan.
Right.
See, that's the problem. We all pay into it like a pension plan, and DC finances it like a welfare plan.
No, I've heard that statement many times in town halls. The challenge with that is I understand it, but the person that we're demanding, the people we're demanding honor what people believe is the promise to them are our children.
Right.
They had no part in that bargain. So we're passing this incredible debt on to our kids. And both parties, neither party has been fully honest about how we have to deal with it. So I believe we ought to...
By the way, do you know, you want to know something interesting that is true of Social Security today that wasn't true 20 years ago?
Sure, let's hear it.
Anyone who retired starting last year, the average person who retired last year, will now get less money out of Social Security than they paid into it.
Yeah, you know, the interesting thing, I used to...
For the first time.
I talked to seniors a while, you know, when I first started, and if someone entered, Social Security was a heck of a good benefit for folks who first signed on. If they lived long enough, they received far more than they ever put in. And again, the challenge here is, what are we passing on to our kids? But here's the other, there's this other side of the honesty question. We've got to address entitlements and spending. We've got to address discretionary spending, but I believe we've also got to address the revenue side. And I just don't see Paul Ryan and Mitt Romney's numbers working out. Just honestly, I served on the budget committee. I've looked at the analysis of their tax reform proposals, and I don't see that it's going to generate enough revenue. And I also am very concerned about how the revenue balance is going to be skewed from what Paul's proposed. So that's where I have a problem with Paul. He says we've got to have the courage to be honest, but he's only honest about part things.
Here's why I think he is correct, and that is, every time you talk about raising taxes, and it doesn't matter if you raise the taxes on working class people, upper middle class income people, or the wealthiest people, as soon as you talk about raising taxes and you act to do so, you evaporate some of the momentum to control spending. And when that revenue arrives, some member of Congress, doesn't matter which party, you've seen it happen, starts using his or her muscle to corral something for his or her district or state. So what you end up having is less momentum to reduce spending, and much of the money gets frittered away in more spending rather than deficit reduction.
Well, I understand that concern, and it can certainly be legitimate, but you're kind of conflating the two. We need to constrain spending on both entitlements and discretionary spending, including defense spending, and we need to increase revenue, and we should increase revenue, I think, across the board. I actually disagree a little bit with my
own party.
How
does that help the economy, Brian?
Well, first of all, there's a shibboleth of every time we raise taxes, the economy plummets. Remember, Bill Clinton's economy was the largest, longest economic expansion in the history of the United States of America.
But he cut taxes after he raised
it. But it followed a tax increase that the Republicans, not a single Republican, voted on, that actually followed on George Bush 1's tax increase. I mean, the problem here, John, is we've got a complex problem, and we try to look at two variables. What happened to taxes? What happened to growth? It's much more complex than that. But I just got to tell you, I look at the math of Paul and Mitt's proposal, and I don't see it. I don't think it will generate sufficient revenue.
We're going to bring you on again here because you're so much fun to talk to. Okay, Brian?
You bet.
All right. That's Brian Baird, former congressman from Southwest Washington here on KOMO News Radio.
Como AAA traffic and weather every 10 minutes on the 4s.
New distraction in Everett, southbound I-5 as you exit Estero at 526. We have a collision off to the right-hand shoulder of the ramp, and it does cause a little slowing for drivers. Northbound I-5 into downtown Seattle remains pretty tough from the Michigan curve right up past I-90. We had an opening of the First Avenue South Bridge just a few moments ago, and the Hood Canal Bridge is once again closed to car traffic, so that could be anywhere from 15 to 60 minutes. We still have delays on northbound 405, just off and on heaviness now as you approach the Maple Valley Highway, but the slowing does continue right up to 112th in Newcastle. I'm Mary Whitish in the Como AAA Traffic Center.
Sunshine throughout the day today. Filtered sunshine north of Seattle as low pressure passes by to the north. Will not be as warm today, courtesy of a stronger onshore flow, but still above normal. Today's high 81. Tomorrow, morning clouds, afternoon sunshine, and a high of 77. I'm meteorologist Paul Dieno. That's your forecast, and I'll see you on Como 4 News.
Voted the fourth worst traffic in America. That's bad. Traffic on the fours? Ooh, that's good. We're here to help. Como News Radio.
Well, you've heard before when people talk about mortgage rates that, you know, the historic lows, now is the time to refi. Of course, the real issue is, can you qualify for those great new low rates? Well, Kia Lending has some new programs available right now that make it all possible. So if you're upside down or underwater, you just want to restore some balance to your finances, the people at Kia Lending might be able to help. Here's where it starts. If you have the ability to make a payment now, then you obviously can make an even lower payment. And that's what they aim to do, put more money in your pocket at the end of each month rather than have you send that money to your banker. The people at Kia Lending know these programs won't last forever. Thousands are taking advantage and saving right now. See if you can too. Now, I've done my mortgage and refi with Kia Lending. I've recommended them to friends and family members. I'm happy to recommend them to you as well. See if they can earn your business like they've earned so many other people's business. Here's their number, 1-888-778-KIEL. That's 1-888-778-KIEL.
Big news, big names, just plain big. This is Newsline AM with John Carlson on Como News Radio.
It's John Carlson, Como News Radio. Thanks very much for letting me be part of your listening day. You know, his column caused a huge stir. In one day, 5,300 comments on Ruben Navarrete's column about a Mexican-American U.S. Olympic athlete who medaled in the 1,500 meters and chose to carry two flags, the U.S. flag and the Mexico flag. around the track. He's going to be joining us at the bottom of the hour, talk about why he wrote the column and some of the reaction he's gotten personally. I wanted to play a couple of cuts. Over the weekend, Paul Ryan, of course, joining the Romney ticket, and they appeared on 60 Minutes last night. Here is Bob Schieffer sat down with him and talked to Ryan about being selected for the ticket. Do you have that that particular clip?
Was there one point where there was one moment when you said, this is the guy, this is my guy?
Well, actually, you know, we've been working together for a while, and over the last year, Paul and I have come together on some policy issues and mm-hmm. sat down and discussed those things. I was impressed with his understanding of the issues that we were facing and also his political acumen, but then we spent some time on the campaign trail. I got to meet his wife and three children and was very impressed. But the final decision, Bob, was not until really August 1st when I kept my mind open. But I was intrigued and inclined towards Paul for some time, but I kept my mind open. And then on August 1st, it was time to make that final decision. I called Paul and said, I'd like to meet you on Sunday. And we sat down and made it happen.
Well, what was it that did it?
Well, you know, this is a guy who's a real leader. There are a lot of people who go to Washington or go to their state houses with a personal ambition in mind. Paul had a very different course laid out for his life and became convinced that he was needed to try and get the country back on track. And he has gone to Washington with a passion for making a difference.
It does have a passion for making a difference, and he offers a clear difference from President Obama. Ryan is younger than Obama. He is smarter than Obama, and Obama's a pretty smart guy. But they just have very different views about people, business, and the role of government in society. These two statements tell you philosophically how different these guys are. First, here's President Obama.
If you got a business, that you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
All right, and here is Paul Ryan's take on that on Saturday.
I'm proud to stand with a man who understands what it takes to foster job creation in our economy. Someone who knows from experience that if you have a small business, you did build that.
And, you know, my guess is that probably 95% of small business people are with Ryan on that. Are with Romney Ryan on that. It was his biggest applause line of his maiden speech as the vice presidential nominee, because it just shows a clear difference between these guys. And yes, I know that Team Obama says that he was taken out of context, but we have played the extended comments of the president. No, it was not taken out of context. That is where he's coming from. I mean, the philosophy of the president is essentially, if it's good, it all starts with government. Government makes all these things happen. And the take from Ryan and Romney is freedom makes it happen. And freedom is limiting the role of government. That's what the Constitution does. It guarantees God-given rights by limiting the power of the state. It is when people create things that they generate jobs, they generate prosperity, and that creates the tax revenue that helps pay for these government improvements and the like. So like I said, the selection of Paul Ryan means the race is not just about the economy today, and it's not just about who's more likable, Barack Obama or Mitt Romney. It is about the role of government in a free society. That makes this not just a pivotal, but a historic election.
Como AAA traffic and weather every 10 minutes on the 4s.
It was one of the shorter closures. Hood Canal Bridge is back open for car traffic once again, but we still have a bit of a lineup for northbound Highway 3 drivers approaching the bridge. Northbound I-5 into Seattle remains slow going from the West Seattle Bridge right up past I-90. It does ease out through the Convention Center. And still some off-and-on heaviness on northbound 405 from the Maple Valley Highway over the Kennedale Hill past 44th. Southbound I-5 as you exit to State Route 526, State Patrol and DOT out with a crash on the right-hand shoulder. And southbound on the Ballard Bridge, DOT crews have the right lane closed off. That should go till about 2 o'clock this afternoon. I'm Mary Whitish in the Como AAA Traffic Center.
Sunshine continues today, but temperatures will be 6 degrees cooler as a result of a stronger onshore flow. This afternoon's high in Seattle, 81 degrees, 81 also for Tacoma. Everett today, topping out at 77. Tomorrow, the coolest day of the week, back down to normal with a high of 77. Wednesday, sunny and warmer with a high of 86. I'm meteorologist Paul Deano. That's your forecast, and I'll see you on Como 4 News.
dig a little deeper. This is Newsline AM with John Carlson on Como News Radio.
Back to the phones we go. Devron calling from Seattle. Hello, sir. You're on Como News Radio with John Carlson. We only got about 25 seconds, but they're all yours.
Thank you. I just disagree with your statement about Paul Ryan being smarter than the president of the United States. I mean, he's running for vice president.
Mm-hmm.
So Mitt Romney's the one that's running against Obama.
Yeah.
I just don't, you know.
Well, those are two different things.
Understandably, but I mean, that was just totally opinionated what you say, and I think you were wrong for saying that. You haven't looked at their graduating.
Well, that's because Obama won't release his transcripts. But no, they're both bright guys. I just think Ryan's a lot smarter than
Minute by minute, your world is changing. Check in 4, 5, 6 times today to Como News Radio.
The biggest road construction weekend of the summer is getting underway.
Mantra from WashDOT.
They need to leave extra early this weekend and then add an hour.
Worries about Iran's nuclear program at the White House.
If you think Seattle is a more dangerous place to live this year, you're right.
High-profile string of shootings. The murder rate is up a whopping 450%.
Como News Radio. Como News Radio. What happens next happens here.
President Obama is campaigning in Iowa. ABC's Ann Compton says the president comes bearing gifts for farmers.
The big news here in the Midwest isn't the election, it's the killer drought. Just as President Obama landed here, the Department of Agriculture announces it is buying up livestock to help farmers and ranchers and will give the food to food banks for the needy. $100 million in pork, $70 million for chicken, lamb, and catfish.
ABC's Ann Compton traveling with the president. Paul Ryan is making his first solo campaign outing since being named Mitt Romney's running mate. He plans to greet voters at the Iowa State Fair. Romney's campaigning in Florida. At age 79, convicted cop killer Gregory Powell has died in a prison hospice in Vacaville, California. In 1963, Powell and a co-defendant abducted two Los Angeles cops, took them to an onion field near Bakersfield, and murdered one of them. The other escaped. The murder inspired the true-life crime book, The Onion Field. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Como News Time, 10:31. Good morning. I'm Greg Hirschold in the Como 24-Hour News Center. Search is underway right now using a rescue helicopter as searchers look for an Auburn woman missing since Friday evening. She's 27-year-old Tatiana Kamara. Her brother ran into her at Pacific Park Friday, and she was with a man he didn't recognize. That's the last anybody saw her.
He didn't know the individual, so it was the first time that he had seen that particular person. So, and we have nothing to really go off of to say it was a date. You know, we're just looking at what was left behind.
Stephanie Shook with Pacific Police did not elaborate on what was recovered in the park yesterday, but the missing brother tells Como News they found a case of beer that the couple had been drinking down by the river. Footprints also led to the river, and that's where search dogs lost their scent. So if you see a helicopter in that area today, it's a King County search helicopter. It's involved in that search. Two people now in custody in the shooting death of a Puyallup man, including the victim's mother-in-law. Leon Bachman's body was found near Gig Harbor a month ago. Detectives won't say what the motive was for the killing or if there are other people involved. Well, Republican leaders in our state are reacting, saying Paul Ryan is a risky but exciting choice for the vice presidential ticket on the GOP ticket, while Democrats call the Ryan plan wrong for Washington. More from Como's Corwin Hake.
It's rare that a vice presidential candidate brings such a well-established policy to his ticket.
It was a bold choice because Paul Ryan is a lightning rod and he is identified with a specific budget plan.
State GOP Chair Kirby Wilbur, Ryan's budget plan would slash entitlement programs and rewrite the tax code.
I know Paul. He's a very pleasant person.
Jay Inslee, former congressman and Democratic candidate for governor.
But his ideas are so contrary to our values in the state of Washington.
Both sides agree the choice of Ryan firmly establishes the economy as the central issue of the presidential campaign. Corwin Hake, Como News Radio.
A fire in central Washington, which was started by lightning in the Okanagan-Wenatchee National Forest, is now in the mop-up stage. It was called the Mount Barney Fire at the head of Falls Creek. It burned about 50 acres. It's supposed to be rather windy in that area today. Well, would you ride a bike around downtown Seattle if you didn't actually own the bike? Then you might support a bike share program. The idea is that it would start with 500 sturdy seven-wheel bikes available at several stations around downtown, the District, Capitol Hill, and elsewhere. And if you needed a bike, you'd pick one up at the station and return it at another station. It's a program that's worked with 50,000 bikes in one Chinese city.
It's very integrated with other forms of public transport, like the bus, parking, and the water taxis.
And now a group called Puget Sound Bike Share is hoping to raise $3.7 million in startup costs, most likely from federal funds, to get the program underway by the middle of next year here in Seattle. Como News Time, 10:34.
Como AAA traffic and weather, every 10 minutes on the 4s.
Still some slowing on northbound I-5 as you approach the West Seattle Bridge right up through the Convention Center and then eases out after you get past Mercer Street. You're back up to speed once again. Northbound 405 is still seeing a little bit of slowing, too, between Park Drive and 44th and then looking better through Newcastle. Watch out for a lane closure westbound Sierra Route 18 as you go from Sierra Route 167 up the Peasley Canyon. DOT has the right lane closed off, and they're doing road work today southbound on the Ballard Bridge that has the right lane also closed. This report brought to you by the Muckleshoot Casino with 8 delicious dining experiences, including the family-friendly Spice Bay Buffet. You'll find the value-licious deals on the tastiest meals at Muckleshoot Casino in Auburn, the biggest and the best in the Northwest. I'm Mary Whitish in the Como AAA Traffic Center.
Sunshine throughout the day today. Filtered sunshine north of Seattle as low pressure passes by to the north. Will not be as warm today, courtesy of a stronger onshore flow, but still above normal. Today's high 81. Tomorrow, morning clouds, afternoon sunshine, and a high of 77. I'm meteorologist Paul Dieno. That's your forecast, and I'll see you on Como 4 News.
69 degrees in Seattle right now. Checking the numbers on Wall Street, we started off negative, and we're still kind of hovering in that territory. The Dow average down 71 points. That's the latest from the Como 24-Hour News Center. I'm Craig Hirschold.
Como News Radio, everything you need to know. Now, Newsline with John Carlson.
The Olympics have wound up. The United States, I think, pulled in about 104 medals. One of them belonged to a young man, Leo Manzano, 27 years of age, who became the first American to win a medal of any kind in the 1500 meters since Mexico City, 1968. He won the silver medal in the 1500, which is essentially the mile run. But then he did something that people weren't expecting and that was highly unusual. Instead of carrying just the American flag around his shoulders, which so many successful Olympians did, he carried around the U.S. and the Mexico flag. He said he was representing two countries. He was born in Mexico, but he moved here at the age of 4, his father was an illegal immigrant from Dolores Hidalgo. Ruben Navarrete, who is one of my favorite columnists, because the guy thinks for himself, a very independent-minded columnist, also CNN contributing columnist, wrote an essay about this. Get this, it got 5,300 comments in just 5 hours. Columnist Ruben Navarrete joins me now. You can read his columns in the Seattle Times, of course. Mr. Navarrete, great to have you here on Como News Radio.
Thanks for having me on.
Okay. Tell me, as someone who is Mexican-American yourself,
right.
What did you think when you saw him parading around the stadium in triumph with an American and the Mexico flag?
Well, let me give you a little background here. First of all, I do 250 columns a year. It's rare that I find a column like this that catches this amount of fire. Obviously, there were, you're right, in the first 5 hours, 5,000 comments. Overall, over 10,000 comments in the first 3 or 4 days. And I've had this very interesting experience where I have Latinos, specifically Mexican-Americans and Mexicans, who really disagree with me on this, and then a bunch of other Latino Mexican-Americans who really agree with me on this. And I've got white folks writing me saying they really agree with me on this, and others, white folks, writing me saying that they don't agree with me on this. And so it's however you come to this issue of dual identity and cultural roots and background. I also say that we in this country have long struggled with this. You know, this idea that we should always adhere to just one flag. It didn't get through to the Irish on St. Patrick's Day. It doesn't get through to the Jewish protesters who have marched on Washington holding the Israeli flag. Certainly, this is not the first time in American history that somebody has held up two flags. But I took very strong exception to this, and I criticized this individual for doing this for one simple reason. He's not a protester. This isn't a music event, a concert. He's an Olympic athlete. He is there in London on our dime. He is there representing the United States of America, Team USA. That is very clear. He should only be waving one flag, and that's what I wrote.
What has been the response to him
since he did this? Because he tweets often.
Yeah. I think it's been very much mixed, as I'm experiencing as well. There are people who love him, and there have been, I think, four or five internet rebuttals, different essays that have been written at Latino-themed websites criticizing me, attacking me. You would think from the caricature that they're drawing out that I am somebody who's ashamed to be Mexican. In fact, I've fought for many years to be able to use the hyphen Mexican-American. That's how I referred myself. You would think that I'm not on their side when it comes to immigration reform and fighting what I consider to be nativist laws around the country born of a fear of changing demographics. None of that counts anymore. That's all gone out the window. I am persona non grata within some elements of the wacky Latino left who see this issue through the lens of their own cultural insecurities. As I wrote in my piece, we need a whole team of therapists to help Mexican Americans work through all their mommy daddy issues regarding Mother Mexico. And I'm hearing that firsthand.
Okay. So what was most interesting is that you said you're hearing from some Latino Americans who are upset with you, some Latino Americans who agree with you 100%. Right. What's right. the dividing line, Ruben?
Oh, gosh. A lot of it has to do with nationality, with how you feel about this country, your country. I think that even for Mexican Americans who were born here, parents who were born here, in my case, three of my four grandparents were born here. One of my good friends is Seattle-based radio talk show host Michael Medved.
Yes, you know, good friend of mine,
He's terrific. I love Michael. I've been on his show, and he himself has said, listen, I can't say that three of my four grandparents were born in the U.S. And so even for people like us who are born in the U.S. and have these deep roots, there is this kind of romantic attachment to Mexico and the sense somehow that you should hold up both flags. And for Mexicans who come here and are professionals and who made their living here and choose to live here, and they have all these opportunities, they have found, as I wrote in my piece, that Mexico looks much better the further you get away from it. Now, maybe that was cruel and harsh, and I'll say it again. But for people who leave Mexico, the poverty, the corruption, the drug war, all that stuff, they romanticize all that, you know? And it's kind of like leaving the Dust Bowl states to come to California, and Oklahoma looked really good in the rearview mirror. But when you were there, not so much. And so you have lots of personal insecurities, and the dividing line that you're talking about is really what separates how people view their nationality, why some Irish Americans are connected to Ireland and others are not.
Do you think that, because I see this as well, and, you know, yes, people come here from countries all over the world, but they come here for one reason, at least traditionally they come here for one reason, and that is they want to be American. They no longer want to be a Swede. They want to be an American. They're American with Swedish heritage.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's the story of my grandpa.
Right. But here's the thing. Again, and then, again, we have mixed messages in this country, right? I spent 4 years as an undergraduate at Harvard in Boston. And I got to know the Boston Irish.
Mm-hmm.
The Boston Irish are not like the Irish in Seattle or where I live in San Diego. They're hardcore real Irish. And for those Boston Irish, you do not go up to an Irishman in a bar in Boston and say, now you got to choose. Are you Irish or are you an American? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good way to get in a fight. And so in their view, you can be both. Their nationality is USA, but their ethnicity, and they make no apologies for this, they're Irish and they're proud to be Irish, and that's their heritage. And they do wear it on their sleeve, and they wear it on, you know, tattoos on their arm if need be. So we have always sent these mixed messages that we have this idea that Grandpa came here from Italy or from Germany and immediately hit the ground, immediately started speaking English, became an American, and never looked back. Not true.
No, that's right.
It didn't happen that way.
Right. But I will say, I don't recall any other Olympic athlete from the United States doing what Leo Manzano did.
Well, I got in trouble for this part of it because I said, folks, it's all about nuance. And I do remember a case in 1992 in the Barcelona Olympics, Oscar De La Hoya, who then came off to obviously now a very successful professional boxer, now retired,
mm-hmm.
made millions of dollars. But before he did that, he won the gold medal in Barcelona. And when he did, he went around with two flags, U.S. and Mexican flags. And I got in trouble with my critics because I said that I had less of a problem with Oscar doing that than I did with Leo doing his thing. And they said, well, what's the difference? And I said, the difference is Oscar is U.S. born, okay? Leo is an immigrant. And it just means something different when a U.S. born, give you another example. If you're a U.S. born American Jew and you have an Israeli flag outside your house, I care less than if you're an Israeli immigrant and you have one. It just means different things. And it
very good
means
point.
Different things. Yeah, if you're an Italian-American immigrant, if you're an Italian immigrant versus an Italian-American, I'm not threatened if I see an Italian-American politician and they have a lapel pen that has a little Italian flag crossed with an American flag. I think that's cute and charming. I don't think there's something more to that. But if that's an Italian immigrant, it takes on a different meaning.
I tell you what, a lot of people are calling in, have comments here. Can you take a couple of calls, Ruben?
Sure, you bet.
Ruben Navarrete is my guest. The lines, 206-421-1000. That's 206-421-1000. He's critical of U.S. Runner Leo Manzano carrying an U.S. and Mexico flag around the track.
Como AAA traffic and weather every 10 minutes on the fours.
Northbound I-5 still very slow going from the West Yatta Bridge right up through the Convention Center. Just some off and on heaviness remaining on North 405 as you go from Sunset up to Kennedale Hill. The Valley Freeway northbound 167 just a little crowded as you approach the 405 exit. That earlier closure from the weekend, they did some culvert replacement. There's still some construction work off to the shoulder of the road. And the southbound I-5 exit to North 85th, it remains closed from this weekend and now for the next 2 weeks. There's paving along North 85th that's causing a lot of extra delays in that North Seattle area. I'm Mary Whitish in the Como AAA Traffic Center.
It is going to be a warm week throughout Western Washington, although a little bit cooler today compared to yesterday. Today's high 81, mainly sunny skies. Tomorrow, morning clouds, afternoon sunshine 77. Wednesday, sunny and 86. 90s are likely Thursday and Friday. I'm meteorologist Paul Deano. That's your forecast, and I'll see you on Como 4 News.
The big story.
We have two brand new ferry boats to name. What should we name them? Manuel in Lacey, you're up.
Talk about recognizable names. Dave Niehaus.
The Niehaus. I love that.
Newsline PM with Ken Schramm. Weekdays noon to 3. Como News Radio. What happens next happens here. At ComoNews.com, you always get the latest news, traffic, and weather from the Como News Network. Plus, one-click access to follow Como on Facebook and Twitter. And be sure to join the Como News Radio Listener Club.
This week, enter to win Regal Cinemas passes to The Odd Life of Timothy Green and tickets to see Jackie Evancho at the Puyallup Fair.
Just click the Como News Radio logo at the top of ComoNews.com. Everything you need to know. Como News Radio. Como News Radio. ComoNews.com. Beyond the headlines, this is Newsline AM with John Carlson on Como News Radio.
Ruben Navarrete, Mexican-American columnist, writes a column for CNN criticizing U.S. distance runner Leo Manzano for carrying both an American and a Mexico flag around the track after winning and saying that he was representing two countries. the USA, and Mexico. Ruben says, well, that's funny. I only saw USA on your jersey. You should be representing your country. What do you think? 206-421-1000 is the number. That's 206-421-1000. Alan, West Seattle, good to have you here with Ruben Navarrete.
Good morning. Yeah, this is Alan. I think the columnist kind of got turned around backwards on his thinking. I don't see anything wrong with being proud of the country you were born in, and especially thinking that when he said if he saw another flag with somebody that was born somewhere else, that it would feel threatened. I was born in Estonia, and if I had an Estonian flag up under the American flag, I don't think anybody would feel threatened. It just seems like trying to make an issue out of something that
I mentioned this. Thank you very much, Alan. The other day, a woman called and said, he's making too big a deal over this.
Right.
What do you say, Ruben?
I plead guilty. That's what I do for a living. I make a big deal out of things. And if I were hosting a radio talk show, as I've done in the past, I would do the same thing. I'm a columnist. I'm paid to write and criticize and apply my thinking and my logic to situations like this and have people disagree with me and agree with me. It doesn't matter. Like me or don't. I don't care. I would just want you to think about this and think through it. And so that's what I do. If I only wrote happy talk, I'd work for Hallmark. You know, I wouldn't write for the Washington Post. I wouldn't write for CNN.
Yes.
So that's what I do. But what the caller has to understand is there is a huge difference between being a guy who goes to a concert, a Mexican mariachi concert, let's say in Seattle, and unfurls a Mexican flag. I've got no problem with that. You know, maybe even protesters who march on City Hall and wave a flag. I have more of a problem with that. But I have the most of all problem with an Olympic athlete. When you become an Olympic athlete and you represent the United States of America or any country for that matter, and they go through the opening ceremonies, they didn't read everybody's name as you recall. They just said, here's the Olympic team from the United States. You are part of an Olympic team, even if you're in an individual sport, and he has to understand that. So there are different rules. Let me be clear. There are different rules that apply to Leo Manzano than apply to some schmo at a concert.
One person emailed, if he had won the gold medal, what anthem would they have played?
Well, they would have played the U.S. anthem, the national anthem.
Yes, but it drives home your point.
Yeah, they would have because he represents our team. He made a personal decision to hold up this flag. I think it was a bad decision. He had every right to do that because, clearly, he worked hard. He ran the race. I didn't run the race. He makes his decision. He has the right to hold up that flag, and I have the right to criticize him. He has a job to do. I have a job to do. And that's what makes the world go round.
Sure thing. Yeah, no, someone else called and said the same thing about the goal. If he had won the gold, what anthem would they play? Susie, Maple Valley, hello.
Hey there. I think it's perfectly fine what he did. I have a son who we adopted from an African country 2 years ago. He's 17 years old, and he's an elite athlete. Happens to play for the Sounders Academy team. And if at some point he made it somewhere like that, to me, I feel like he's a gift to our country, and it's okay for someone to honor. I think because it's Mexico, maybe we have the vision that everybody wants to be here. We're the almighty America, and you know, everybody from Mexico wants to come. But the truth is, if it was another country and they paid homage to their homeland, I think it's okay. I think if he truly represents us, he's a gift to our country.
You see, if Leo Manzano had been from Ireland and had carried the Irish flag, I would have the same feeling.
Yeah, and I know the other day someone, I don't know if it was you, was talking about, you know, I'm from Sweden, da, da, da. Well, you know, I'm from Sweden too, but many generations back. I didn't come here as an immigrant. I didn't come here for a better life. My son is a gift to America just as much as America is a gift to him. He has a lot to offer, not just because of sports and his athletic ability.
Let's give the last 30 seconds to Ruben. Thanks very much, Susie.
I think that's a great sentiment. I think that it's great that she sees her son as a gift to America, and ultimately he'll turn out to be perhaps just that. But he has to make a decision as well. And this idea somehow that you get to live your life with two flags in your back pocket for the moment where you win a medal, you get to whip out both. At some point, her son as well is going to have to decide, who's done more for me? Is it my African nation I left behind or the United States that took me in? And ultimately, the decision there for Leo Manzano should have been the same thing. Who do I owe my respect to? Do I owe my respect to Mexico, who pushed out my parents and my father because there was nothing there and no opportunities there and no jobs there and inequity there? Or do I owe my respect to the United States of America, who took me in and made me who I am? He came here when he was 4 years old.
Yes. Ruben.
Where did you get this idea of an allegiance to a country you don't even know?
Ruben, it would be great to have you back on again. Thanks for joining me today on Como News Radio.
My pleasure. Thanks.
Como AAA traffic and weather every 10 minutes on the fours.
We have some slowing on southbound I-5 from the Fife Curve to the Port of Tacoma Road. DOT just conducted a rolling slowdown to get some debris out of the roadway. Northbound I-5 into downtown Seattle remains jammed up from the West Seattle Bridge past I-90. Still some slow traffic on northbound 167 as you approach 180 to 405. That construction from over the weekend, they're not completely finished. They're still on the right-hand shoulder, and so that's causing a big delay for drivers looking at all the activity. This report brought to you by Washington Energy Services. Washington Energy's preseason sale going on now. Great discounts on heating, windows, and more. Plus, no payments for 6 months on approval of credit. Call 800-398-HOME. I'm Mary Whitish in the Como AAA Traffic Center.
Sunshine throughout the day today. Filtered sunshine north of Seattle as low pressure passes by to the north. Will not be as warm today, courtesy of a stronger onshore flow, but still above normal. Today's high 81. Tomorrow, morning clouds, afternoon sunshine, and a high of 77. I'm meteorologist Paul Deano. That's your forecast, and I'll see you on Como 4 News.
This is Newsline AM with John Carlson on Como News Radio.
Thanks very much. To the phones we go. Want to thank Ruben Navarrete for joining us, talking about U.S. distance runner Leo Manzano. His column criticizing him for carrying both the U.S. and Mexico flag around the track. Got 5,500 responses in 5 hours' time on the CNN website. Rodney, 30 seconds are all yours. Go.
Yeah, I'd like to see him. Well, what I'm trying to say is the United States sent him, not Mexico. And I'd like to see him try that with some other country. You know, they wouldn't put up with it one bit.
No, yeah, that's a very fair point to make is, you know, in what country did you attain your success? What country... country's team did you join? And, you know, they sponsored your appearance there. I think that's, you know, just a very fair point to make.
Fisher Communications, KOMO Seattle, KOMO FM Oakville. What happens next happens here. KOMO News Radio, the home of 10 minutes.